Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur here with We Write About Music, and today I am speaking with Jeremiah and Mitch of Painted Friends. They've just put out a seriously fantastic record. It is called Gomnia Volume 2 Indomindi, and I'm beyond excited to get to talk to you all about it. I want to thank both of you so much for taking the time to be here today. How are you? What's going on?
We're good. We just put out the album. It's been 2 days now, and so far everybody has given us some good feedback. And
It's been incredibly, the feedback has been super receptive. Everyone's been unbelievably kind about it. And we 2 days ago, on the day of the record coming out, we also played like a release show, and the turnout was absolutely amazing. So I think we're both on a
Awesome.
pretty big high right now.
Yeah,
You
it's great.
absolutely should be. You should be on the highest of highs, and I'm not surprised that the feedback has been positive because, as I said before we started recording, and I'm going to continue to say as this happens, like this is exactly the type of music that I listen to in my free time. And when a record comes along that sounds like this, that truly like makes my ears perk up. Like you have no idea the amount of music that I listen to. And so when something I listen to sounds like this, I know that I'm going to be coming back to it. It's also one of those records, at least for me, that is it's complex and it's deep, and there's so much that you won't get on the first time, which is kind of my favorite type of listen. It unveils itself the more you come back to it. So like hats on the back to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you. Yeah.
As I continue to blow up your egos over the next 20 minutes,
Oh,
the first thing that I really want to know about is I think that a lot of people will be instantly enamored with the instrumentation. It's very right in your face, but you have not skimped at all on the lyrics. So, in a roundabout way of asking, is this more of like a concept record in terms of like a couple themes you're covering, or is it a series of isolated stories?
It's definitely more of a concept. The whole story of Gomnia is it's a story. So I was trying to write songs that fit that narrative, I guess. And so it's the concept, but there's also a lot of freedom in the songs to just be what the songs wanted to be.
Sure.
And like there's a lot, we wrote this record together, the first time we ever wrote anything like. Like as far as an album, like completely together in unison. So this album is like a fresh new thing for us, even though this is like our third release.
Yeah.
This is like it's a new feeling. So it's really cool.
Amazing. I'm not surprised. What is Gomnia, though?
Yeah, Gomnia is it's this story I made up. And I'm still
Okay.
making it up. I'm still writing it. And I'm still figuring out really what it is too at the same time.
Okay.
But it started as this idea where like you because I was dealing with some mental stuff
Yeah.
and I wasn't really sure how to combat what was going on. And I was just thinking creatively, like what could that look like to see everything that I'm dealing with mentally in like a physical form. So I was like, okay, what if I did this? What if I made up this story where if you get the Gomnia chip implanted in you, when you go in to sleep at night and you dream, you what you dream is like manifested, or manifesting what is problematic mentally in the real world
Sure.
into like a creature or something in Gomnia. So
Awesome.
like if simply put, like if you have an addiction to sugar in Gomnia, that would look like a rabbit that is like really out of control that you need to get into a cage. And then if
Yeah.
you can manage that, you wake up and you don't have the addiction anymore type thing. It's just like a
I
story.
love it.
But if you think about it, like what would be represented as like hate in Gomnia or
Sure.
love even, or like all the things that are in the real world that are metaphysical, what they would look like in reality,
Well, I like that
if you
because it
could
kind
see
of
them.
feels like a way to for people to project their problems and hopefully turn them into something better.
Exactly, yeah.
Like that a lot. Listen, there's too many love songs out there, and there's too many breakup songs out there. We don't need any more of that in today's musical landscape. The fact that you've actually come up with something incredibly original kind of speaks to the creative that you are.
Yeah, thank you for that.
You're very welcome. So I'm happy that it's not just one of you here. The more people I get to speak to that had a part in, you know, making this record better. What do you do in the band? Like, what are your roles?
So currently I just play drums. Jeremiah, he's the brain of it all, the
The
whole
brain.
operation.
Okay.
I
Not so
mean,
much this album, though.
yeah, but
No, not so
like
much this album.
I don't do any of the actual musical writing myself. I only play drums, but I guess other than just doing all the instrumentation and lyrics and everything associated with that artwork, like I guess it's the structure now, it was just Jeremiah making these songs and then me having my input. It's now more so that we're right from the get-go working together creatively or collaboratively,
Yeah.
and you know, I push songs in a certain way, Jeremy pushes back. We finally over many, many revisions get to the happy medium and have, you know, these, especially for this new record, there's just 10 really, really great songs.
Mitch has been the Rick Rubin of the process,
Hey,
who ha doesn't
that's
really
tall
have a lot of.
praise.
He does. He does. He like obviously he's really good at drums,
Yeah.
but and he's learning like the more musical instruments where like you have to like learn theory and stuff. He's getting into that more, but for this album specifically, he definitely played a Rick Rubin role where, like it for My Heart Your Love specifically, he like was like, hey, you know what? Let's just add this whole section to the end of the song. With
Sure.
a guitar solo and a fade out, and it's gonna be great. And then that's exactly what happened. And that was all him. Like that was all in his brain. And
Awesome.
yeah, that was a really cool moment
Oh yeah.
writing that
Yeah.
because it
Very
all kind
cool.
of happened. It was cool.
That's awesome. I find that, I mean, obviously every song is special here. I will not deny that. But for at least an album, one of the most important things is, you know, kicking it off with a bang. If you don't capture people's attention within the first three or four songs, you've lost them and they may not get to like the more special moments towards the middle or end of the record. One of my favorite things to talk about is like, how could you possibly put together track listing when all the songs are amazing on their own? However, another nod to you guys, the run from Better Bones to The Dust Is Rising is truly like musical bliss in my ears. And I would
Wow.
recommend everyone out there to listen with, you know, a nice pair of headphones or on a really nice sound system or something like that, because the production is excellent. Like it is
Thank
so
you.
crisp and clean. Everything can be heard perfectly. And it's just like the
Wow.
best kind of alternative rock with so many other subgenres sneaking in that it's like, oh man, I really like, I hope you don't think I'm being facetious, but I truly love this record. And
Thank
like,
you.
I can't, I'm so excited to talk to you about it. So,
Well,
really, a question here. Well, actually, yeah, I guess this is a question. So, Better Bones is the album opener. Was it the obvious choice? Is that being the first song?
before I answer that, you were talking about the how it sounded sonically. I just wanted to shout out our friend Alec who did the mixing. He did a really good job, and then he sent it to get mastering. I cannot think of who did it off the top of my head, but once we got the masters back, our brains were like, this is our album. Like, are
Yeah,
you crazy? Are
it
you
is.
kidding me?
Yeah, it is
Like, so it wasn't
unreal.
us. We didn't do the mixing or mastering. We had some other people do that for us.
That's
We
fine.
like the idea of
That's like
having,
speaking another language, doing that stuff.
So I just wanted to shout out, his name's Alec Arnica. If you want, if anyone needs to have him make something, just send him a message. You can find him on our socials
Oh my
at
God.
some point. You'll see him there. But back to the question. I'm sorry.
No, you don't be
So
sorry.
Better Bones, yes, we knew from the beginning, when we were thinking about this album that was going to be the opener,
Okay.
for sure.
However,
Yeah.
This song is a song that Jeremiah has had in the works for 7-ish years.
It's one of the first songs that I've ever started writing.
And like him and I have gone back and forth throughout the last 5 years with this song, and trying to get it to a place where we're both happy with it. And I think we cut this song from the previous record, Gamma Volume 1. And I was like, we are putting this song out. We are no longer gonna, it's an amazing song. We're not gonna sit on it anymore. It has to get out there.
Yeah. Okay, so awesome. I mean, it was a process. That song took a long time to finish, but I'm so happy that it's where it is now.
Oh, yeah. The work you put in was 100% worth it. I can promise you that right now.
Yeah, thank you.
Another thing is, like, at least in your bio, you describe yourself as alternative rock. And I feel like alternative rock as a genre means so many things nowadays. If you even go 15, 20 years ago, when someone said alt rock, you had a pretty good idea of what you were getting into.
There needs to be another name, like something.
There really does.
That fits the scene nowadays, because whatever there is now, it doesn't work. You have to have all these different editions, like alternative indie pop.
Yeah, so many subgenres.
Yeah, like that's, it's just too much.
And I'm so glad you agree, because that's kind of what I'm leaning towards here. Is like, there's so much presented on this record. Like, obviously it's rooted in rock, but every song kind of becomes its own thing all the while. It has your very particular sound to it, which is unbelievably difficult to do. So, okay, let's brainstorm. What music did you just put out? How are you describing this to people when they ask what kind of album did you make?
I've been telling people that it is modern indie rock infused with like overtones and ideas from like 70s country.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, why not? I've a perfect blend of those two things.
Okay. Cause I definitely heard some slight bluegrassy moments in the guitar a little bit here and there. And
while I was writing this, I spent probably 4 months straight just listening to Johnny Cash. So nice. that kind of was the reason for Kane Complex and Dust Is Rising. So props to Johnny Cash for those for the inspiration.
What about on the rock side though? Like, who are some people that you've listened to in the past or have been like, you know, long lifelong staples in your life?
Jeremy and I are very different when it comes to our influences.
Good.
I came from like the like early aughts like emo and pop punk sounds. Mm-hmm. Obviously I've moved away from that a little bit, but now I'm like really inspired by I guess, without, you know, we were just talking about labels, but like art rock, like me Without You, La Dispute. I mean, Paramore is one of my favorite bands ever. And like their newest record from last year is unbelievable.
Agreed.
And you actually mentioned like every song kind of has its own vibe, its own sound. And that is, I don't want to take all the credit, but that's definitely my influence on that. I like In and Record, my favorite records ever. Every song, you're on this train ride and you don't know where you're going.
Exactly.
Apologies, I actually forgot what the question was, but
no, you're good. We're just talking.
I mean, yeah. So I mean, I guess for this record, you mentioned Johnny Cash for you. For me, it was probably probably the biggest inspiration was Me Without You's last record called Untitled.
Okay.
It's sonically not even close. It is a completely different ball game, but it's that whole compositional idea thing.
Sure.
Any more for you?
I mean, just growing up as a musician in those years, I would say my one of my biggest inspirations is Manchester Orchestra. I still like really so love them. And then I had a phase of obsessing about 21 Pilots. Okay. They were a huge inspiration for me for a while. And their new album is coming out here, and I'm super excited. Yeah, I mean, the 1975 are a huge inspiration for me also. I mean, they've put out a few weird albums, I think. Yeah. Well, maybe not a few, just one. I would say just one. Sure. I think Notes is a pretty weird album. But yeah, I mean, those bands I would say are like a big inspiration for me and have been for a while.
Cool. And I will say that like some of the people that I've talked to in the past or interviewed, where there's not as many collaborators, you know, putting their two cents in to make the record, the best records that I hear, the people that do it always have just the most different type of like musical preference. And I find that that's the happy medium that makes these records that push the genre, and they push the envelope of what like normal music can be. Because, and it's like I said, every song here is kind of a surprise. You don't necessarily know what's coming next. But at the same time, it sort of casts a wide net for what type of person could listen to this and enjoy it. While you may not like one song, you may fall in love with the next. And then it sparks a discussion on, oh, you think this song is the best? No, it has to be this one. And boom, you have people talking about your record. And that's what, you know, if you're too one note, it's boring. And then I change it and I'm sick of it. So I'm just happy to know that you guys don't have the same, you know, musical style.
Yeah, I don't think him and I actually listen to any music. Like, we don't share any similar bands that we listen to.
There's bands that we both like, but the bands that we both love are, there's not a lot of overlap
wildly on two different, very different musical styles.
Yeah, like I love Paramore, but I don't love Paramore.
Yeah,
sure.
Not like, for I know everyone. A lot of their songs, but I'm not like gonna get a ticket to see them type thing.
Like,
although I did.
Yeah.
That was for him.
I guess going back real quick, like as far as influences, maybe less so for this record, but just as who I am as a musician and my how I want records to sound, my favorite band ever is My Chemical Romance, and specifically their first record, I Brought You My Bullets, You Brought Me Your Love. That's my favorite record of all time. Nice. And it's just this unbelievably, for anyone who hasn't heard it, it's unbelievably raw, like screaming emo. Like, there's barely any like melodic tones on it. I mean, there is a lot of singing, but it's all aggressive.
I agree. It's what I was raised
on. You would not be able to tell that there's any influence in this record from that.
Doesn't matter, because it's there in you. You know what I mean? Yeah. While it may not come out on the record, it's definitely shaping you in some, you know, unconscious way. So I get it. Awesome. You had mentioned that you recently played an album release show, so congrats on that. Is there anything else in the works in terms of future shows, anything along those lines?
I don't know about shows yet. I think we're thankfully in a position with our group where we only really play shows when we want to.
Good.
And yeah, so that does kind of like, close off a few avenues for promotion and like meeting bands and whatnot. Yeah. But we are the happiest in the band when we're just making the music that we love making.
I love that. Yeah.
Our process the last like 6 months has been, you know, write a bunch and then, we have a show scheduled. Okay. Let's just focus on this show for 3 weeks. So the 3 weeks up into the show, we are rehearsing twice a week for it. And then once the show's over, we're back into writing mode. Like, yeah, that's what we're doing. When this interview is over, we're going to be like working on the next thing. And we don't have any shows lined up. Like, when that happens in a few, like a month or two, we'll be like rehearsing for it. But right now, like, that's not the goal. We're not trying to play as many shows as possible. We're just trying to write.
Nice, man. I love the passion for it. And it kind of sort of brings me to my next thing is like, okay, we're going to hang up this call. How is it going to start? Like, how does a song start for you? Is it born out of a jam? Is it born out of talking about it? Like, what comes first, lyrics or instrumentation?
Well, it varies. That, I mean, I would say mostly though, it's a melody and then it's lyrics after. Okay. But I would say it definitely changes sometimes. Nice. But like this new album that we're working on, not the one that we just released, but this new thing, we're already
six songs deep.
Jeez. I mean, they're not like ready to go songs, yeah. But they're doesn't written. Matter. But like we're jamming these first. In the past, I would put everything together, even with like demo drums, and I would show him the idea, yeah. And he would write his own drums to it. Now we're like, even while we were rehearsing for the release show, we were just jamming some stuff sometimes and writing. That's the dynamic for this new stuff, is working on it from the beginning together, and seeing what happens with that.
The last two records of ours were done entirely in the DAW.
Okay.
But on the DAW, on the grid, and there's nothing wrong with doing it that way. There's tons of great records that are done that way, but there wasn't never moments in those projects where, like, if something clicked between him and I, it would be almost accidental. Like, I would play, because I wouldn't be playing drums into the DAW. I'd be manually putting notes in a grid. And so sometimes some cool like beats would come out because I'd put it on the wrong note, but it would fit. And so like moments like that, it was unorganic because it was to a grid. Now, when mistakes happen or we're just playing something together and there's no direction, you know, there's that live moment of like something happening and we looking at each other and like it's like your we horizon just expands. So that's definitely the new process for us, for sure.
That's wild. I love that. I've truly like I've never heard of music being made like that before, especially when, because usually it's born out of a jam, but the fact that it's happening, that's beyond me. But good for you. I'm glad it works. Obviously, you guys are great musical partners.
Yeah.
Keep that up. I've got two more questions for you. And basically, is there anything really important about this record that you feel is important for anyone who's going to listen to it for the first time? Something that they may need to look out for, maybe like an anecdote or a fun fact about it that would be cool to know.
I would say listen to it in order, from start to finish, because it's intentionally that way. And so I think for their benefit, just listen to it in order. I think that would make it more enjoyable. And I've actually never listened to it out of order, so I don't know what it even would sound, if it would be weird or not. But like all the songs are always following the one that it should be following in my brain. Yeah. But are there any like Easter eggs?
I mean, there's some on Bones and My Heart, Your Love and Love and Sea, and especially the title track Into Mindy, there's some like little musical goodies that you kind of had to be searching for. You had to keep your ears open. You have to
What Moves You, you say that one?
Yeah, What Moves You. You and even The Dust Is Rising has a little bit of that, especially at the end. You definitely will probably not hear it on your first listen, and it'll probably take you many listens to like actually get what's going on. But it's so much lower in the mix, because we wanted those types of moments to, like, you're listening to one of our songs for like, this is your 10th time hearing it, and it finally clicks, you hear it, whatever it is in that song, and you're like, whoa, that's, how have I not heard that before?
Right. And that's what I was trying to say at the beginning, is like, this is such a deep and complex record. And I'm, you know, I've listened through like two or three times at this point, and there's no way in this world that I've heard everything I need to hear. It has such a nice replay value about it. Like one time through is not enough. If you're not listening to this album 10 times in a row, then I don't know what you're doing with your life.
So, another thing too is in Better Bones, the Mitch has like his own little speech.
It's my first vocal debut.
Yes. Awesome. And like the right after that big intro, there's like a little moment of Mitch just like he was recording a dream into his phone. Like how long ago?
Well, the dream was 7 years ago. I'll give you the very, very long story short. I went to bed whatever night it was, and I lived in this dream for almost a year.
Oh my God.
And I have crazy, insane dreams every single night of my life, but I've never woken up and had to write or record something from a dream before. And I haven't before that, and I haven't since then. And the story of the dream was basically that I lived in like two different places. One was like in the real world, but one was in like an alternative universe. I wasn't a physical being. I said it in the song, a guardian spirit. Think of like if I was transparent, you could still see me, but like sure. I wasn't there. But so actually one of the things that just was pure coincidence, that dream I had 7 years ago and three or four years before I met Jeremiah and Bones, the story of Bones kind of is related to the dream, just being omnipresent almost.
For real, it's an insane coincidence. And the fact that I started writing that song 7 years ago when he had that dream around that same time, and then for some reason we were like, hey, what if like we just use that dream that you recorded in your phone on that little tiny section, and then it just worked out freaking perfectly.
Yeah.
So amazing. Like things like that are like, you know, you gotta take advantage of those.
Oh yeah.
So, I fully agree. Listen, Jeremiah and Mitch, I truly want to thank you so much. I can't tell you how much it was a pleasure to get to talk to you about this record. And it obviously sounds like there's more in the works. So I hope we get to talk again soon, or I get to listen to Definitely. It.
Of course. Yeah.
But I want to, before we wrap up here, I want to plug it for everyone out there. So everyone out there in our article, we will have the links that you, so you can listen and share and follow along, and obviously stay tuned on all the social media. We'll have all that information posted so that you can get it and listen to it 100 times over. And truly, thank you so much for taking your time. It really means a lot.
Thank you so much, Austin, for having us.
Yeah.
And I speak for him as well as myself. We're so excited that you love this record. Because we are just as excited about it as like people like you that we've met and just friends and family. The reception has been unbelievable. So thank you.
Yeah, thank
you. You're very welcome. Awesome. All right. Have an amazing rest of your day, and talk soon.
Yeah. Right,
thank you.
Cool. Good. All right. Yeah. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.